I'm going to begin down at verse 21. Luke 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized, and prayed, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like as of a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased. I think that's a rather neat text for us to look at tonight. But let's look tonight at this perfect example. Well, said, if I knew what to do, I'd do it. If you see a perfect example, well, maybe that's what you need then to follow. And Jesus is a perfect example. Wherever we see Jesus, we see a perfect example. What he did that which was right. What he did that which was pleasing to his Heavenly Father, like you and I should do. So here we see a situation where Jesus is being baptized. Now, John the Baptist, he wasn't minded to think that he was even capable, that he was in a situation where he should baptize the Lord. And the question could come up easily, why should the Lord be baptized? Well, Jesus cleared that point up well for us when he said, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, one of the things then we might have thought we would see then in the life of the Lord Jesus is that his purpose was to fulfill all righteousness. It was his purpose to fill all the types that he, you know, that was a type of him. But in this realm, we can see now that Jesus had let John take him down there in the river and baptize him. And something wonderful began to happen. Just like we would expect in our own hearts and our own lives. Following the Word of God should bring us some of the same results in our own experience. So after all the people were baptized, then Jesus, also being baptized, prayed, and the heavens were opened. So he did two things. He was baptized, and then he prayed, and then the third thing, the heavens were opened. So there's a powerful manifestation, if we might say that. A powerful manifestation. And there was a third one that we would look at. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily form here, a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. And so the Holy Spirit came upon him, and Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then there's a little more in this verse. There was the voice from heaven which said and spoke, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. Now we look at those facts. We look at that as a relationship here. Jesus doing the right thing. Jesus fulfilling all righteousness would go down in the river and be baptized. Remember, this was a baptism for people to repent, a baptism of repentance. And the Son of God, who was sinless, why would he need to go to a baptism of repentance? Jesus would do one thing. He would silence the criticism of those who would say, well, why didn't you get baptized? Jesus didn't get baptized because he had sin to be forgiven of. Jesus was baptized because it was part of fulfilling all righteousness. And so in the judgment day, I suppose when Jesus sits upon the white throne to judge, near to the multitude who refused to go and be baptized, even the Lord himself went and be baptized, why didn't you? You know? So we can picture in our minds then Jesus fulfilling all righteousness. So when he then was baptized in water and praying, the heavens were opened to him. Now, there's an experience that surely was kin to him. And in some sense, did the heavens open to us when we got filled and full of the Holy Ghost? Well, heavenly things opened up to us. Heavenly blessings were surely given to us. We may not find that we're privileged to go as far as he went, or we're going to be blessed to the extent he was. After all, he was the Lord of glory. But here, here we can see then, when the Holy Ghost descended upon him, and in a bodily shape like as a dove, and stayed upon him, well, it was a sign to us that we would look to say he was mightily filled with the Holy Ghost. And the scripture would teach us that he received not the Spirit by measure. It wasn't like he had a measure of the Spirit. He had the fullness of the Spirit of God. Not by measure. You and I, we receive the Holy Ghost by measure. We have a great measure. Some may have a greater measure than others. Well, depending on what God is doing with our lives, that God would fulfill by giving us a greater measure of what it takes. Now, we realize the Holy Spirit was given that we might have power. Power to do the service of Christ. Not power to please ourselves, but power to do the service of Christ. That's something that we should want to see. That we are anointed to do the service of Christ. Now, the thing then that it led to heaven open and the Lord, God speaking from heaven, saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." So it set the record straight right up front in the beginning of his ministry. That he would do that which was right. And he would do it the way God chose for him to do it. That he, by the power of the Holy Ghost in his life, would work now this ministry that he would work for nearly 3.5 years. And so we see Jesus then following what God would give him to do was being well prepared to step out and to do it. Now I'm saying that to say this. In our lives, we should want to do things God's way. We should want to do things right. We should want the full blessing that God has planned for and prepared for us. We should want to be prepared in our heart that we're well able to receive what God has to give. That we go before God with hearts prepared. We should wonder in our mind then, or think in our minds, that sometimes people are disappointed. They didn't get what they thought they should have gotten. They didn't receive like they thought they were going to. Then they were disappointed and wondered, well, why? Well, I think we shouldn't feel disappointed if we don't receive. I think we should just humble ourselves and go back down on our knees again and start praying and seeking God and questioning, Lord, why? Why am I not brought up to that measure you speak of? And why am I not filled like you said we would be? Well, we could recognize, and always I'm willing to concede and say, if there's anything you know that's not right, it's not on the Lord's part. It's on mine or it's on yours. So we want to be prepared to be filled to the full and overflowing. So Jesus would go all out to be prepared to receive the fullness that God had to place in his life here upon the earth in his ministry. And that Jesus would become that perfect example to us of what it means to have the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in your life. So here we see that Jesus got prepared and was getting prepared. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, we can see that in his life, it was about 30 years of age that's referred to. He was about 30 years of age before he started that ministry. He didn't start it at 29. He didn't start it at an age that he chose. It was when this fullness would come that he was prepared. He was the Lamb of God prepared, but also he was prepared to do the will of God and what he came into this world to do. There was his work and his ministry, and there was his sufferings to be fulfilled. So seeing Jesus being baptized is an example. And why shouldn't every one of us want to be baptized? Every believer should be baptized in water. It's required of us that we should be baptized in water. And we should stop to consider that water baptism is there given as an example to us in the Scripture, that we should be buried together with Christ. So tonight, let's put ourselves on record to say we're going to fulfill all righteousness. If you've not been baptized in water, why not? Why not? The Scripture says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believing is the first step. Yes, we believe on the Lord Jesus, but water baptism follows. If we've not followed that, well, then we're putting ourselves in the place where we're not wanting to follow in the ways that God has chosen, that we should not only believe on his name, but that we should be baptized in water. So questions arise, why not? What is your reason? Why would you put it off and put it off and go when you know you should? Well, would it keep me out of heaven if I didn't? I wouldn't want to have an attitude like that. I mean, we're not spiritual gamblers. Why shouldn't we? If we've not been baptized, why shouldn't we? And why haven't you? That's the question you have to address. You have to look at that and say, someday you're going to be praying, you're going to be wondering, and you're going to be saying, well, I don't understand why God doesn't bless me like. And then you look and you have maybe not just one thing you wouldn't do or fail to do. You might have other things. So putting ourselves into place, we should be where we want to fulfill all righteousness. So the Lord would be baptized. Am I better than he? Are you better than he? So, Jesus being prepared. Now, coming up out of that water and having the heavens open and the Holy Ghost descending and the Father speaking from heaven of how well pleased he was with him, Jesus would go on to fulfilling what God had set for him to do. So the pattern is here. I'm in chapter 4 and I'm at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is a strange kind of a scene. Coming from such a place of blessing over at Jordan, the heavens open, Father speaking from heaven to him, speaking of him so that we would hear those words. We hear it through the Scripture. But we're looking now to say there him being full of the Holy Ghost, returning from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the place of blessing is before him here. He comes out, from Jordan with a real experience here of the Spirit. And here it's detailing it further for us. And being full of the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Holy Ghost. We want to be full of the Holy Ghost. We want to be filled. We want all of that fullness of being filled with the Spirit. And so we see the pattern in the Scripture with the seven deacons, men who were selected out because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. They were men that were going to be used of God. So they were chosen on the basis that they had the experience. They were chosen on that basis. And then we could see in the life of two of these men that God gives us the privilege to see, and we could see with Stephen what a man he was. He surely showed up as a prince of a man. He was a great, spiritual leader. He was a blessing to the children of Israel. Here he was a deacon. Here he was supposed to be helping to serve tables and things of this nature. And he was also out there working miracles among the people. God's blessings were upon him. God's blessings was upon his life. And the choice of God would be for those who want to be used of God that they would be full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Things that we would say like requirements to our heart and soul. We'd like to do the miracles without the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no way. We'd like to have greater blessings without the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no way. This is the way it comes. So Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, being led now of the Spirit. So he's filled with the Holy Spirit over there. He's led by the Holy Spirit over here. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. But don't you think to really be fully led by the Holy Spirit, there's that need of being filled then with the Spirit? Wouldn't we put those two together and say, well, if I was really full of the Holy Ghost, I would expect God could really lead me then by the Holy Ghost. Lead me by His Spirit. So Jesus, then being full of the Holy Ghost, was led out into the wilderness. Now, would that sound like he was being led astray or he was following his own leading or his own mind? God wanted him to go out into the wilderness. So the Spirit of God led him out into the wilderness, into a wilderness place. Being in that wilderness place 40 days, tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. So being led then 40 days now, in fasting and prayer, he gave himself as was given to him to do then. So being tempted of the devil during those 40 days. So the master would be tried. He would be tried. And he was tried out there. Hey, the devil was going to have a chance to just try to tempt him to do wrong, to do evil, to sin. God did not shield the Son of God from temptation. He was here in this world and he had to stand up against temptations just like everybody else, that he would not sin. And he came into this world, God had sent him and brought him into this world to live a sinless life, a perfect life, to be a perfect example. So, just because he's the Son of God did not exempt him from having to do some fasting and praying. He had 40 days here, this session, of fasting and praying, and ate nothing either by day nor night. So we see the Lord then being prepared. He's being prepared. Surely, being in the place of being tempted for 40 days, all through those temptations, it would appear then that Jesus fasted. And then on down in the last three major temptations, he was brought to the place then where he was afterwards hungered. Devil seeking opportunity to see if he couldn't somehow deceive the Son of God, beguile him like he did Eve in the garden, tried to bring the devil or bring Jesus into some, you know, servitude to the devil. So we see him now in that realm where all of this is there before him. He's got to stand his ground. He's got to fight the good fight of faith like we do. He's got to be that example. Everything he does has got to be an example. Others are going to see what he does. Others are going to follow his examples. And here we see him, and we see his example, and we may follow his example. But there's this one key ingredient. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God was in this. God was leading him into the Spirit, or by the Spirit into the wilderness. God would let his son Jesus be tempted 40 days, and in those days to eat nothing. So we bear in our mind then that this, it's like a process. We've got to be willing to submit. So I know everybody would like to have the Holy Ghost. They would like to have that infilling. They'd like to work miracles. They would like. This is not a game of what I like. This is not a game of what you like. This is not a pick a choose. Hey, this is the way I want it, and this is the way I'm choosing it to be. We're going to follow the leadings of the Spirit. We're going to be led of the Spirit. God is going to lead us by the Spirit into the experiences that He chooses for us to go through. God is going to lead us through those times. And so we best be prepared in our hearts that we're willing to be led. We're willing to let the Holy Ghost lead us. I think it's one of the areas that probably I should emphasize even stronger. How we should be led of the Spirit. There's too many times we're led by this thing called the brain, our mind. Or we're led maybe by somehow down in our heart by some kind of a desire. Wherein we should mortify that. We shouldn't want to follow this mind. We shouldn't want to follow our own ways. We shouldn't want to choose something when God has already made a choice for us. We shouldn't want something when God has already showed us what to want, what we should desire, what He would give us. And God would give us then of the things of the Spirit of God so freely, we should be willing in our hearts to reach out and receive the things He's so, you know, willing to freely give to each one of us. But I think that being led of the Spirit is the key to our whole life and success of living up and above sin. It's the key that we're led of the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God, what will be for them in particular? Now, we're not going to, when we're led of the Spirit of God, we're not going to fall into sin. We're going to have victory over that. We're going to be able to withstand. So let's take to heart here what's said to us as an example. Let's be willing to follow. Are you willing to fast and are you willing to pray that you might have this blessing of God upon you? We said, well, I don't mind a little. Jesus didn't mind 40 days. He just fulfilled that time. Now, it goes on to say, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now he's hungry. And the devil begins to tempt him. So he's out here in this wilderness where he's going to be tempted for 40 days. 40 days, 40 nights there. And here you can see as the devil is right there, waiting for the opportunity to bring some kind of a temptation. And the devil, seeing that Jesus was now, after going 40 days without eating, that he's become hungered in his heart. You know, stomach, he's got maybe more than just a growl here, he's hungry. And so the devil seizes an opportunity to see if he can't capitalize on that and bringing a temptation upon him. So the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. You know, that's a temptation to prove yourself, isn't it? If thou be the Son of God, do this. We don't need to yield to some subtle temptation of the devil to do something that we shouldn't do. We never want to be brought into servitude of the devil. We never want it to be said of us that if I do this thing, I'll be serving the devil. So if the Lord would do this, what the devil is saying, then he would be obeying what the devil said to do. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Well, could try to make him doubt he's the Son of God. But even if he can't make him doubt that he's the Son of God, if he can just get him to act, just turn one stone into a loaf of bread. Just make one stone bread. He would have obeyed the devil to do that. He wouldn't have done that by being led of the Spirit of God. So Jesus knew what to do. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now that's a strong statement when you take it, isn't it? But it's a true statement, and it's one we could go back in the Scriptures and find it. It's there. Man shall not live by bread alone. We would think that all we would need is bread, but you can eat bread by the truckload and still not go to heaven. Eating bread doesn't take you to heaven. Eating bread might help the hunger of your body, might supply the need. But remember, we can't live by bread alone. If we're going to live, we're going to live by having a born-again experience with the Lord. We're going to live because we've got a new spirit. We've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to live. We're not going to live by our bread alone. We're going to live because of our relationship with God. So man can't live by bread alone, though he might try. Or he might think that's all he can do. But Jesus now is saying that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man must take God's word serious, take it to heart. So the devil suggested to the Lord then to command the stone to be made bread. And Jesus is speaking back, quoting this word. And this word is really saying, I don't need that bread. This word would say, you don't live by bread alone. You live by every word that proceeds forth from God. You live by obedience to God. You live by following Him and following the teaching of the Scripture. You don't live because you've got a lot of money. You don't live because you've got all the food you want to eat. You don't live by that. That's not sufficient. Men have ate tons of food in their lifetime and went to hell. Bread didn't take them to heaven. We need bread for our body. You know, the belly was made for bread. We need bread to eat. But we need every word of God down deep in our hearts. So if we want to be like Jesus, we've got to also be quick to take the Scriptures and take them serious. You notice Jesus did not answer anything in this temptation, is to say, of himself. He used the Word of God. He took what is available to you and I tonight, and he took that and he used that to defeat the temptation. So we have the Word of God too. And the Word of God will work just as good for you against the devil as it did for Jesus. So the temptation came, and the devil spoke, the devil tried it, and it didn't work for him because the Lord would stop him cold by quoting to him the Scripture. This Scripture, as it is written, the Lord would stand squarely on then. He's not living by bread alone, but he's living by every word of God. That's what put the devil down in that temptation. So he didn't make the Lord doubt that he was the Son of God. Neither did he make the Lord to do anything in servitude to him. But just to stand firm on the Scripture where he would stand in his everyday life, standing on the Word of God. He used that Word of God. That's what he needed. That's what we need. It's an example. And tonight, it's an example to show you and I, this is how you defeat the devil. You don't defeat the devil by just running around saying, devil, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to step on your head. I mean, by trying to boast yourself like you are going to do something. If you are going to do it. If we're going to defeat the devil, we're going to defeat him on the plain where he was defeated. The Lord defeated the devil openly here. He triumphed over him, not only for himself, but for us. So we can stand tonight and say, surely we know, in by the example of the Lord, we have to take that which is written. That's our solid answer that we need in a day of temptation. No matter what the temptation, there should be a scripture out there in the Word of God that you can stand on and use that will help you from giving heed here to the temptation or yielding to temptation. Now, with that temptation, the devil saw he couldn't do anything. So he thought he would take this a step further. So he was not only going to try Jesus, it said, and the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now we can scratch our head at that and try to figure that one out and say, how did the devil do that? How could he take him and bring him to such a place? Well, you do this. You read the Word of God. You take what the Word of God said, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You just take what that said. That's the way it was. That's the reality of fact here. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now the devil is referring to ruling over the nations, ruling over the kingdom of this world. That's what he's talking about. Now, in appearance, then it would look and say, the Lord came into this world to be a king and to have a kingdom. And would he by any means want to speed the operation of it up and not have to go through all that suffering to get it? Would he like a hurry-up kind of a way to get up there to be in charge as to be a king here in this world? If he wants to make a hurried-up trip, the devil is trying to give him a chance by tempting him to, by bringing this to him and saying, you know, and the devil said, all this power will I give unto thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, that statement of the devil is not challenged. It's not challenged. The Lord didn't challenge. The Lord didn't say, you're lying. But this was his statement, that he had power to put whom he would over the kingdom. But all this I'll give to you. Just a small price to pay? No, not at all a small price. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. So we think about the temptation. I'll give you all of these kingdoms to rule over. All you've got to do is fall down and worship me. Boy, wouldn't that turn Jesus to being a sinner, huh? Ah, no, you couldn't think Jesus would entertain those thoughts. Jesus would know how to put the devil in the place where he belonged. And we have to understand that would be a strong temptation. I've often said, I wonder about some people, how they got into power. How would a man like Adolf Hitler get into power? How did he get way up there where he was? I wonder if he ever had a temptation that somehow by worshiping the devil, he could have all that power. Wonder how many times a man has sold himself out thinking he was somehow going to have so much great power by giving himself over to the will of the devil. How many men is the devil deceived in such a manner? But let me tell you, Jesus showed us how to defeat that temptation. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You like that? "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, the answer the Lord brought back would show us here how that the devil would try this very thing, and how the Lord would stand on that which he knew, the Word of God, that this was the source to stand on. First of all, it was a rebuke to the devil. "Get thee behind me, Satan." "Get out of my face. Get behind me, Satan." That's strong. "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, things like that scripture, refined down into its proper place in our hearts and in our minds, that we would take that scripture, like many other scriptures, and we would know them. We would understand that this is something God has said and something that we should be so quick to want to stand on. We won't live by bread alone, but we'll live by all the words that come out of the mouth of God. And here, surely, rebuking the devil then, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So you can't divide yourself. You can't worship God and worship something else too. You can't worship God and worship idols. You can't worship God and worship people. You can't worship God and worship money, any other form of idolatry. You've got to be true. And we must stand in that place where we know that we should worship the Lord and the Lord our God, and we should not worship any other. So there's a clear-cut case of a scripture being used to put the devil in his place. So the Lord was a master then at using the Word of God. I would call that being a master at it, knowing just what scripture to select, bringing up that scripture was written for that very reason, and to stand on the Word. We know the Word is the sword of the Spirit, and we know we should stand on it, and we should stand on it every day, and we should make our stand. When we're in trouble, we want to make a stand on the Word of God. You know, when we're in need and we need help, we should be trying to stand on the Word of God. We should be looking to the Scriptures. The Scriptures will always tell us what to do. Here, taking the Scriptures to heart, quoting those Scriptures, the devil has to back away. In other words, he didn't succeed in tempting Jesus. There was no yielding to those two temptations. There just was no yielding. Now, it is not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield to those temptations. So the sinless Son of God was tempted. Here we've looked at two points where he was tempted. But we bear in our mind, he did not sin. He defeated the temptation by standing on that which is written, the Word of God. So it does teach you and I the power there is in the Word of God to stand. The answer of God that's in that Word. What God taught us to do, how willing we ought to be to do it. So don't think in your mind that somehow you, by your personality or by your way or what you think or your ideas, that that's sufficient to defeat the devil. Remember, the devil is wiser than you are. Remember, he's been around a lot longer than you have. Let's remember, he was a great angel who fell. And bear that in our mind. He's subtle. And he's tricky. He's filled with beguiling people. He's crafty. You can't trust his word. He knows how to twist the word to make the word seem different than it is. So we bear in our minds that we should want God really working in our hearts and lives. Let's look at a good example and see that you can make it. And Jesus gave us an example that we could follow. There's nothing foreign here. There's nothing that only relates to him. It's something that relates to us. He's giving us an example that we could take up in our everyday life and experience with the Lord. Whenever we're tempted, we should look for a scripture. Whenever we're tempted, we should look for a scripture that we can and are willing to stand on. And we have to look away from something the devil would make to shine and flicker in our eyes, or somehow try to feather up our feelings a little bit toward. Tries all kind of things to tempt men. But Jesus would have to go through one more temptation. Doesn't look like he's having a hard time by standing on the word, does it? Doesn't look like he's having a hard time. You might have a hard time. And more likely, your hard time might be picking a scripture you could stand on. But why shouldn't we do what the scripture said? Hide the word in our hearts that we wouldn't sin against God. Isn't that what an answer given to us? And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down hence. So he's back to pick up that, if thou be the Son of God. Trying to think now that somehow he's going to fall for one of these statements. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. So why should the Son of God want to cast himself down? The devil is trying to give him a reason to want to cast himself down. Like he tries to give a man a reason why he should go out and blow his brains out. You should kill yourself. You shouldn't want to live. Why should you want to live? Life is just this and life. Why? Lie and tempting a man to destroy himself. He does these kind of things day after day. But we face things like that. We better get help. Can you say amen? Surely we better get help. We best defeat that spirit. Lest we should do that thing which the devil said to do. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. You see, that there's a subtlety. If you're the Son of God, if you're quick to actions, quick not to think, or quick to pray, not to pray, quick, then you could respond on the fact, well, I am the Son of God, and jump off the bridge. He doesn't have to prove he's the Son of God. Let me ask you this. What do you have to prove to the devil? What do you have to prove to him? Do you have to ask the devil if you can go to the toilet? Do you have to ask the devil if you can go down the street and have a hamburger? What do you have to ask the devil for? There isn't anything you have to ask the devil for. No way do you have to prove things out with the devil. You need to know that. You don't have to answer his questions. He'll come along to you a little differently. And he say, well, if you were a Christian, you would, and start right on you. If you were a Christian, you would, or if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that. Very subtle ways to try to get a Christian trying to prove himself to the devil. I don't have to prove anything to the devil. So the devil said, now he's defeated me twice by the word of God. He wants to play the word game with me. I could play that word game too. So the devil would want to use the scriptures to tempt the devil. That's subtle now, isn't it? Not only if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So there you have it now. He would go back to the Scriptures and find a Scripture. Now here's a seemingly fitting Scripture to somebody who doesn't know the Scripture. Somebody that wouldn't stop to read the Scripture and check it out to see if he's quoting all of it. He would leave some part out because it wasn't fitting. Yes, that's what he did. So now we see then he is wanting to use the Scripture to tempt Jesus. It is written, he shall give his angels a charge over thee to keep thee. Well, would God give his angels charge over us to keep us? Do we have an angel? We all believe we have a guardian angel, don't we? Do we believe we have a guardian angel? Do you believe there's an angel somehow as a guardian angel to you? Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that based on the Scriptures, that's not a bad thing to believe. I would surely like to think every day the angels of the Lord camp around about them that fear God, that we can depend, they're there to help us. They're there to keep us. They're there for our benefit. Surely we could look to the Word and clear all of those things. But here it's subtle. Now, Jesus said, for it is written. Now the devil is saying, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Go ahead and jump off. The Word says nothing will happen to you. The Word says God will keep you. Hey, you know what I mean? So he's tempting him to jump off. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Tempting him to jump down. Tempting him by saying what it says in the Scripture then. That the angels will take care of you. You won't need to worry. Why does he need to do it? He doesn't have to answer to the devil to do this, does he? He doesn't have to say, well, devil, I know I have to do this. No, he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to yield to temptation, and he doesn't have to do what the devil said. Just because he's the Son of God, surely that doesn't mean he has to jump down somehow off the temple just to prove it. Do we have to prove that we're a Christian? You just live the life. You just walk with God. You just follow the Word. You don't have to prove anything to the devil. Nothing. You don't have to prove something to fulfill his desire to tempt you. Notice Jesus is still doing what he did. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, the issue is not jumping off the temple. The issue would be, go ahead and jump off the temple and think now the angels are going to keep you. The devil knowing that that would only be tempting God. Now, you got to understand that realm of life, tempting God, doing things that are not right, knowing it's not right, and doing things that are not right and not taking time to follow the procedures of God and to his Word. So think about it then. We don't want to be in that place where we tempt God. We had this one thing. I told you this before, but it's in a way, maybe it's Sam Hemers. But we had a young man one time that was with us. And he had his ways. And surely some of his ways wasn't nice. You know what I mean? He could get himself into more trouble. He was the type of person who liked to prove himself. He liked to be approved of everybody. He'd like everybody to think that he's a real Christian, that maybe he had some real power in his life. So he's at work one day, and he worked for a tree company. There was all these trees out there, and around these trees, wrapped around them, and all was all this poison ivy. poison ivy. You know what poison ivy is? You ever got a little poison ivy? Boy, I'll tell you, you could see some people get a little bit of that, and boy, what a job it'll do on them. So this day, he thought in his mind that he was going to just look pretty good. So here's all these men. Oh, he said, let me at it, you know. Oh, that won't hurt me. And he's telling these men, you know, this is not going to hurt me. It might hurt you, but it won't hurt me. Oh, God will keep me. You know? He's just really thinking he was somehow doing a great thing. So that boy came home from work. He was out working that day. He came home from work. And boy, he's breaking out all over. He's got poison ivy, ivy, poison ivy. He got himself into a mess, you know. Oh, he looked at that, you know, and I remember he was saying all these things. And I believe it was Sister Bailey who told him, hey, you tempted God, didn't you? He didn't say he did, but she told him he did. You tempted God. That's why you got this, isn't it? Well, he had to admit, you know, what he had done, how he'd stepped out there. He was trying to make himself look good, I guess. And he tempted God that day. And so he had no protection from that poison ivy. Oh, he got himself into a mess. You know, it was a strange one because as much of it as he had spreading on him, he repented, you know, of tempting God. He just up and he wanted to repent. He wanted to clear that up and to be forgiven of that because he knew that's the only way God would heal him. He wasn't going to do that and tempt God and not learn a lesson. But after we prayed for him, God healed him. But not before he recognized, you know, that he had sinned and tempted God. You know, God will forgive us if we've done something wrong. He will learn by some mistakes. And I don't wonder, and I wonder in my mind if he ever went back out and tried something like that again. Do you have anything to prove? Are you trying to convince other people that you're some great power of God, like Simon the sorcerer was? Oh, he was trying to prove that he was some great power of God. They all believed he was. Peter didn't. Peter told him what he was. He was in a gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity. And surely, Peter laid it out to him. You know, he better change his ways quick. Now, if we think about this temptation, then, how quickly Jesus knew what the devil was doing. Twisting the Scripture, wresting the Scripture. Now, the devil likes to take the Scripture and wrest it. Twist it. Turn it. Warp it in your mind to where you don't catch the real meaning of the Scripture. And you take it a whole different way and get yourself in trouble with it. So Jesus would not stand by and yield to the devil to fall off of that temple or jump off just so that he could say he was the Son of God. He had no need. He had no need whatsoever to prove anything to the devil. All he needed to do was stand on God's word. And 1, 2, 3. He defeated 3 powerful temptations that might put one of us right down. If we didn't stand up like we should. Now, one thing I would say out of that, we should learn this. We shouldn't be putting ourselves in that place, should we? And if we're tempted to do something, hey, listen, maybe sometimes we need to do what young Joseph, Jacob's son Joseph, you know how he was facing temptation one day? You know how he had a woman take him right by the arm and start dragging him? And how he just pulled his arm right out, even though he left his coat in her hands, and boy, he fled. He got out of that house fast. He was not going to be drugged down. He took a very firm action. It would be better to run than to give over to the devil and be tempted to sin. Young Joseph, he just wouldn't do that. Tonight, we should look at temptation from this and see that we learn a real lesson. And we learn this real lesson that it's standing on what God said. It's taking the Word of God and the values of it and taking that to our heart and putting it into practice. And if we put into practice God's Word, we'll surely find that we can just as successfully defeat the devil in a temptation by taking the Word of God and standing on it. You've got to stand on the Word. You can't stand on some fleshly feeling. The devil knows how to get you into a place of situations where he will start working you over, and he will bring things to tempt you more than say things. He'll bring things to tempt you. How he likes to try God's people. But when he meets God's people who've stood on God's word and followed the example of Jesus, he can be defeated that easy. We got to know how to stand. Here's our example. I said at the onset of this message that Christ was our perfect example. Now, if you don't call this a perfect example, you won't know what a perfect example is. There's a perfect example how you can go 1, 2, 3 in a row and defeat temptations. But you've got to know how he did it. And we, by the power of the Spirit of God, can have the Word of God quickened to us in the same manner. God can make Scripture flash into your mind like that. God can bring the Word to you in the hour that you need it. And in the hour of temptation, the Lord will be there to help you. He'll be there to show you. But he would want you to defeat the devil. He openly defeated the devil once and for all. You can say tonight rightfully, and I can say it rightfully, and I'm going to say it rightfully right now. The devil is a defeated and a conquered foe. You've got to understand, right now, he's a defeated and a... defeated and what? Conquered foe. The Lord openly defeated the devil and openly triumphed over him and put him to open shame and took from him the keys of death and hell. Now, that don't mean the devil doesn't try to tempt people anymore. No, it doesn't. It means he's defeated. Now, sometimes he bullies and tries his subtleties and his attacks. And if we are not wise as the serpent and harmless as the dove, maybe sometimes then in our lack of wisdom, we'll find ourselves not recognizing, hey, that's a temptation. And I'm not going to yield to that. But I thank God tonight. Do you learn something from a perfect example like that? Remember where he was before he came over here. You remember he was over there at the river? Remember he did go down in the river and was baptized? Remember he came up and he received the blessing and power of the Holy Ghost? Remember he heard from heaven, hey, this is my beloved Son in whom I well please? And over here the devil's saying, well, if you're the Son, hey, he already heard who he was. He knew who he was. So tonight, let's thank God. We can recognize a defeated foe, but we have to defeat him whenever it comes around to that point. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He didn't depart for forever. He departed for a season. So he walked away, and what could he say? All he could say was, I tried, but I failed. I tried to tempt him, but I failed. He couldn't say he had victory. There is no victory for the devil in all that, is there? So you're not going to give the devil a chance to be victorious over you, are you? Listen, I would recommend you to take the Word of God as a sword of the Spirit and keep it handy in your hand and use it. And use only it, and you will do well. Use this sword of the Spirit. The devil knows the end of this sword. He knows it's sharp on both sides. He knows this is a two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. And he knows he can confront it, but he can't defeat it. And so there we are. We have that fine example for us. Let's follow it. You can be successful in defeating those temptations. And if you're being tempted tonight about things, it might do you well One thing can help you. You can get prayer. You can ask God to help you. We can pray for you that God will help you. But there's something you may need to do. One thing we need to do is make up our mind. We're going to follow those scriptures. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to follow His example. We're going to go all the way with Him.